23 we're going to look at. In detail, we're going to look at it in a different way tonight. But read just verse 23 again. We pray. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Amen. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Just going to bow our heads in prayer, and the rest of the meeting unto the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly God and Father, we just come humbly into thy presence, Lord, again this evening. We thank you for the words we've been singing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, we can rejoice in thy so great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the day and all you saved us. Lord, we come to thee tonight. We look to thee for help, Lord. I need thy help, Lord. I need to come, Holy Spirit. Move, speak to hearts tonight, Lord. You know the solemn subject we're going to speak on. Lord, we pray, Lord, you'll penetrate in hearts tonight. Lord, just speak. Speak to me, speak through me. Pray that none be seen but Jesus only. Hide me behind the cross. Thank you, Lord, you've promised. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, draw sinners unto thyself tonight, Lord. Save precious souls. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, most of you understand by the reading. Tonight we're going to speak on a very, very solemn subject. The subject of hell. You know, today, whenever you speak in hell, in fact, I preached this sermon back home in Northern Ireland a couple of weeks ago. A dear gentleman was coming out the door of the church, and he was shaking hands with me at the door. And he told me, he says, my brother, he says, preached a sermon in hell a number of weeks ago, and people refused to shake hands with him at the door of the church. He says, brother, we're living in changed times. But nobody wants to talk about hell. I think back to the Christmas party here in the church, and I was bringing a short message, and I mentioned about hell to the children. And one of the parents of the children spoke to one of the workers and said, I thought you just spoke about heaven in this church. You don't speak about hell. But you know, we're here as children of God. And to be faithful to the word of God, we must preach in hell. It's a reality. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. I heard a story back a number of months ago, a true story, about a missionary, a man who had just finished Bible college, graduated Bible college in the United States of America. He was graduating to train for the mission field in Africa. On the day of his graduation, he prayed in a prayer meeting that day, an open prayer meeting. He prayed, Lord, give me an understanding of hell, that I may go and win the lost of Africa. To get a reality of hell. Later that day, after his graduation sermon, service, on his way home, going back home to where he lived in the United States of America, only a few hours after leaving that Bible college, he came across a major car crash, a massive pileup on the road. And there was a lorry, a petrol tanker was on fire. And when they got out to try and help the driver of the petrol tanker, who was engulfed in flames, he says, we could see nobody. But he says, all I could hear, these words, I'm cooking, I'm cooking. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Then he said, this kept it on, I'm cooking, I'm cooking. And this man screaming out of the midst of these flames. And finally he heard those words, this cry, would somebody throw me a gun that I could shoot myself to get out of this torment. You know, souls here in this meeting, we've been reading about torments here in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Yes, hell is a place of torments. And tonight, as quick as possible, we're going to go through this. We're going to look briefly at five certainties that the Bible talks about hell. Five certainties that the Bible talks about hell. The first certainty we're going to look at, the certainty that hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. as our brother Kyle has already mentioned, when he was doing the reading. This chapter that we've been reading from in Luke chapter 16, this is not a parable, this is a true story. This is reality. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking here. And he talked about Lazarus, about Abraham, they're named. It's a true story. And hell is a real place. In the Old Testament, we read in Numbers chapter 16, the story of the house of Korah and the rebellion against God. And it says that they were swallowed up by the earth. The earth swallowed them up. I believe in the time I read about the Bible, and we read it, hell is downward. I have a dear monk who lives in the glens of Antrim back home, a very scenic area of Northern Ireland. I do a work and do doors. Man, I've been witnessing to now for 3 years, and just Friday a week ago, I had him in the car. Gentle man to talk to, but a man who's on his road to hell. A man who's not saved. He's doing all the works, but he's not saved. And he said to me, he says, it was the second time he's told me that, Friday week ago, he calls me brother, and I told him he's not my brother because he belongs to a different family than me. But he says to me, because I've been born into the family of God, he said to me, he says, I've done away with my bed till I get closer to, so that I get closer to God, lying on the ground. I says, no, I says, pray. I says, you're going closer to hell, you're going down instead of going up. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ can lift you. And people seem to get this wrong idea about hell. And they've all mixed up, and the devil has people mixed up. We read here in Luke chapter 16, verse 27 and verse 28, it says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Yes, hell is a place of torment. Verse 24. Yes, we've already had read about dipping his finger that could cool his tongue. Oh yes, hell is a real place. Hell is a real place of torment. And we'll see in verse 30 it says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Oh yes, repent. There's so many who wants to repent when it's too late. The rich man wanted to repent, but it was too late. He was already there. As I do doors, and I knock doors, and I talk to people, and they tell me, oh, sometime I'll get an opportunity. This man had the opportunity. He rejected God in the scene of time. He rejected his offer of salvation. But it was too late to repent. Yes, hell is a real place. Secondly, the certainty that the creatures of hell. It was only of late that I heard someone preaching one day and one night, and I started to look at this, and I never realized this before, about the creatures of hell. Yes, we've already mentioned there about the torments. Notice that word is in plural, the torments of hell. So there's more than one torment. I used to think of the fire, of the flames, the torments of hell. See the creatures of hell. If you were to turn over to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 5, it says, unto them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Down to verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Oh yes, we see here. We see here there's more than hell. We see the creatures of hell. Yes, torment of a scorpion. Shapes of the locusts. We see the creatures of hell. Yes, when he striketh a man. Yes, these demonic creatures have a command to torment the lost forever, for all eternity. That is their command. Beloved, not only is there eternal fire, but yes, there's these creatures to torment the souls of men who die without Christ for all eternity. Yes, fire and brimstone. Read over in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. Yes, this bottomless pit. Sinner in the meeting tonight, you know. Yes, hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Do you know you're not going to be alone in hell? Yes, there's others. Lost without Christ. Within these creatures. Creatures on earth that you'd run away from. Or they'd come near your body. Think of the scorpion. The fear of a scorpion. Yet, the Bible talks about these scorpions. These locusts that is in hell. These are the inhabitants of hell. You know, there's something else that we find a little bit in hell. Thirdly, we see the certainty of the pain in hell. The certainty of the pain in hell. Now, I've testified here the last time I was here over Christmas. And I told you that I was to go through in pain. But I was suffering from MS before God wonderfully touched me. I was in 32 tablets a day. Over 20 of those tablets was painkillers. To kill the pain. I remember experiences as if pains inside of my head. You'd have thought someone was drilling into the side of my head. It's an electric drill. The pain was so bad. Pains in my body that I could not describe. I seen me screaming, crying out, asking God to touch it for help, just to relieve the pain. And you know, again, these torments, pains, the pain of hell. You know, many times we look at the news, on TV, we hear the news on the radio, we hear about people are being tormented. We see things happening. We see these explosions, see all these things that happen. And these serious tragedies that happen around the world. And we are tormented. We think of the pain that these people are going through. You know, friend, it's nothing to the pain of hell. One day the sinner is going to experience except Christ as their own and personal Savior. Yes, the pains of hell. Yes, whenever I had pain, whenever I had severe pain, I remember now in the hospital, there's people crippled lying beside me in beds around me, crippled with pain. You know, I could have called the doctor and I says, "Doctor, I can take no more. Would you knock me out? You either give me an injection or you give me heavy dosage of tablets, and knock me out." The pain was gone. Sinner in the meeting tonight. Hell is no knockout. You go through that pain for all eternity. Endless pain for all eternity. That MS pain and that muscle spasm which I experienced, some of the worst pains you can experience, and I'm going to tell you, it was nothing. It's the pain of hell. That torment. If you're going to go through, the lost will go through for all eternity with no relief for all eternity. There's no doctors, there's nobody there can help you. Sinner in the meeting tonight, would you just listen to these words of warning? You know, everybody seems, I hear people telling me the doors. Just last Tuesday, a lady talked to me in the doors and told me, and she makes a laugh off it. She says, "Oh, well, you know, I know such and such. It was in the band with me. Back home in Northern Ireland, these people around Belfast, there are these bands. Loyalist bands." And he says, "I know some in the band. They were great friends. We'll have some. They were a great laugh. We're going to have great laughs in hell. But friend, there's no laugh in hell. There's this idea of hell. There's going to be laugh. There's no pain, they think. There's pain in hell. Tormented with pain." Yes, the certainty of the pain in hell. But fourthly, the certainty of the crying in hell. Do I believe the scriptures? Three words, I was looking for words for to explain the crying in hell. And the three words that I could come up with in scripture was, one was weeping. Secondly was wailing. And thirdly, we're reading the scripture, but gnashing of teeth. Weeping. But there's something about weeping. I remember I was over on September the 11th when the real tragedy happened. Over in the United States of America, I happened to be in Canada just across the border. And I see people weeping in shops. When you look at the counter in a shop, and it was in Canada. It was maybe 80 miles away from New York. And I went up to the counter even to buy something. And there was in a restaurant. People were sitting openly weeping. And I felt sorry for them. And their hearts went out to them. And for the families of those who had been lost in that tragedy. September 11th. And it was weeping. And they just could say nothing. All they could do was weep. You went up, I remember one night, going into a Walmart store in Toronto, and this lady just broke into tears. I hadn't even spoke to her at the counter. Weeping. And all you could do, you stood and the tears run down your own face, and you wept along with her. You tried your best to weep. It's us weeping. We feel sorry. It grips us. Secondly, wailing. You know, wailing is different than weeping. I suppose maybe one night I watched one of these suicide bombings in Jerusalem. And you see these people and they've lost a child, a young child. You hear that wailing. And they're crying, no, no, God, no. Can you imagine what it's like in hell? And they're blaming everybody but themselves. Same here on earth. People are saying, no, no. I met a lady this last Thursday in a shop in my own town back home. She's crying. She says to me, dear Roman Catholic lady with no hope, doesn't understand the gospel. And she's lost her daughter, has just died, anorexic, 16 years of age. And she's standing and she's just wailing openly in the supermarket. But no, is there a God? No, no. It's weeping. Yes, there's weeping in hell. There's wailing. You know, friends, there's gnashing of teeth. I'll see them beyond that. I believe this is whenever it just becomes to anger. Bitterness. And I believe that even we're reading this chapter of Abraham, I believe there's bitterness of soul. He can't take any more. He's looking for every answer. He wants Lazarus. Someone just could go and warn his own family. He wants his family warned. He wants everybody warned. He just comes to the end of his tether. There's gnashing of teeth. He can take no more. You know, Abraham had to experience it for all eternity. It wasn't going to stop. And sitting in the meeting tonight, you're going to experience it for all eternity. Can you imagine? Can you imagine we've talked about these different things? We're thinking weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. Yes, we're looking at the certainty that hell is a real place. The certainty of the creatures of hell. The certainty of the pain in hell. The certainty of the crying in hell. Fifthly and finally, the certainty of the darkness of hell. I find this hard to understand. I always seen hell painted this fire of fire and seen this bright place. And I never would argue that. Then my eyes were opened, the Holy Ghost opened my eyes to this fact. We're reading Jude verse 13, and I was reading one day and I come across this verse, a fact I went to Kai's father and I was asking questions about this. It says in verse 13 of the book of Jude, the last few words, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness forever. Yes, hell is a dark place. Can you imagine a pitch black room with no light beyond light, where light cannot enter? That darkness. You say as I say, but there's fire. There must be light when there's fire. I had a great privilege back last May of spending some time with an evangelist who was over in our church preaching, doing a mission. And I was taking him out the door with him. I was talking to him. And he was telling me that he was a welder before God called him to the ministry. In the United States of America, he was a welder for the Ford Motor Company. And he started to explain, and we're talking about this subject of hell, and he started to explain to me about his welding torch whenever he was taught to be a welder. He'd done all his exams. And he says, brother, to weld, he says, you need a white flame. You need a white point at the end of your welding torch. He says, that is the hottest part of the flame. He says, to heat. He says, to melt steel. But he says, brother, nobody realizes, or very few realizes. It was only, he says, in college, studying this welding, this is in detail. He says that they brought out a microscope one day, a special microscope. And they showed us the white flame. He says, at the end of that white flame, he says, you could see this wee, he says, black line. He says, like a pin at the end of that flame, that welding flame. He says, a black line. He says, I asked one of the tutors, I says, tell me, what is the black line? The tutor says, that is the very hottest part of the flame. There is no hotter heat than black heat. And we can see how the scriptures define in here the darkness of hell. Yes, it's not bright flames you'll see in the hearth of your fire. It's black heat. The hottest heat possible. One of the hardest heats to create. We just heard there a couple of weekends ago, we heard about the Columbia spaceship coming down to Earth, back from the moon. 12,000 miles per hour. Then whenever it was coming in to our atmosphere, the heat burned up that spaceship and all those souls were lost. So then in the meeting tonight, that heat that was created was nothing to the heat of hell. The river defined bits of that spaceship here, there and yonder. That heat which was created with all these tiles to protect them from it, and it dawned in time and time for what, 20 odd years, I think 24 years of age, that spaceship, how many tiles went up, them tiles protected the sinner. There's no tile, there's nothing to protect you from the heat of hell. Nothing to protect you. We think of those souls coming down 12,000 miles an hour. Families sitting waiting on them. 16 minutes from reaching their families. Yet, gone. Families sitting in the meeting tonight. If you had 16 minutes left in your life, I can't guarantee you 6 minutes. I can't guarantee you 16 seconds. Where would your soul be? And these fires that we've been talking about in hell. This heat. This black heat. This darkness. With these creatures being tormented for all eternity. Where would your soul be? But thank God, you know, when we talk about hell, we don't finish there. But thank God that there's a solution. There's a way to avoid hell. Thank God that God in His mercy sent forth His Son to die for hell-deserving sinners such as you and me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, life in heaven. We've read here tonight about the rich man. Yes, in hell. But we read about Lazarus and Paradise. Lazarus, he had a different life. You see, because one day he came as a sinner to Jesus. For all of sin, he was short of the glory of God. He realized his need. He now realized his need of God's salvation. And he came as a sinner to Jesus. And he accepted the finished work of Calvary. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he had died and shed his own precious blood. You might live. Yes, it's not God's will that any should perish. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And so in the meeting tonight, God is offering you that gift. That gift of salvation. Yes, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. By faith are you saved. It's not by faith. It's for putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift. And just maybe in your birthday at Christmas, if somebody reaches you a gift, what do? You take it. And God is offering you here that gift of salvation tonight. All you have to do is reach out and take it by faith. Yes, not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe you're working your way, trying to work your way to heaven. You're trying to avoid hell by working your way out of it. The rich man realized here there's no working his way out of hell. All he could do was cry for his loved ones and hope that his loved ones didn't experience what he was experiencing. Sinner of the meeting, as we have to warn you here tonight. All you have to do is come as you are. Come as a sinner to Jesus, and he will save you. Tell me, what would be your condition if something was to happen tonight? God forbid. But something was to happen tonight, what condition will you be in? Will you be a condition of the rich man, lost for all eternity? Going through these torments we read about in verse 23. Or will you be Lazarus, rejoicing in the presence of God for all eternity, in peace with God? What will it be for you tonight? Sinner, I ask you as I close, I pray that you'll not leave this meeting, but think back to these things we've been talking about. Yes, the certainty that hell is a real place. The certainty of the creatures of hell. Certainty of the pain in hell. The certainty of the crying in hell. The certainty of the darkness of hell. What do you want to experience? What do you know you're going to experience? Tell me, have you got that peace in your heart tonight? That you know, whatever happens, whatever is to happen to you, do you know for all eternity, yes, you can avoid this place and spoke for tonight. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has saved you. Will you come as a sinner tonight? Come to Jesus. Come to the foot of the old rugged cross. He will save you. He'll change your life. He'll give you a new desire. He'll give you a new outlook. He'll give you a peace of heart that passeth all understanding. Sinner, come tonight, we pray. Amen.